Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
Everybody, welcome back into the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast.
We are so glad you can join us. I hope everybody's doing really, really well. Rookie season is upon us. We are fast approaching things like Pro Day. As soon as these Pro Days are out of the way, before you know it, the NFL Draft. So what better time to do a mock draft? Because Maddie and I will be drafting in a few short weeks, whether we like it or not, in a lot of these D-Gen leagues. Maddie, what's good, buddy?
This time of year is just so much fun for Dynasty, right? Just like the craziness of it. You have all these sickos texting their leagues. You know, DeAndre Hopkins just signed a one-year deal for $6 million with the Ravens. Oh, who wants DeAndre? Just all this cockamamie stuff. It's always so much fun. And in Dynasty, it's why Dynasty is the best way to play, because you can capitalize, you can have fun, you can get active. I mean, remember the old days, Mike? Remember the old days after the playoffs were done? You just said your farewells, yeah, and you came back in August. No more.
Funny that we talk about this, full discretion. This is the first year in a long time that I've just said my goodbyes, and I'll see you guys when it comes time to draft again. You know, so like I gotta really button down this weekend and get these leagues in order. Every single one, get payments in, fill orphans, like do it. Like, so this weekend's going to be a big one for me, but I have literally paid almost no attention to any of my leagues. I haven't made deals. I needed a break. When you do 60 leagues, it was a long, grueling season. I'm like, I am not going to think about the actual leagues for the next couple months, right? And some people will be like, oh, like you got to grind every single thing. You know, fuck that. Fuck that. I told Adam last year, I told him on a show, I said, I think it was sometime in October. I said, this might be the most checked out I've been as a Dynasty manager in my entire Dynasty career. Now, we were always under the assumption that you got to be grinding the waiver wire and spamming deals out and doing all this. And I really wanted to see where my strategy was going to get me in the season, Maddie. And you know what? At the end of the year, it netted me a shit ton of positive money, won some championships, paid for all my leagues. It was fine. So maybe, just maybe, we don't have to be like super degenerates. Like, you can degen as much as you want. Just have a good process, go into it. I know people hate that fucking word process, but I'm going to say it. Have a good process, a good sound reasoning on why you do stuff, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't make it a fucking job. Don't make it a job. Because when it got to be like a job for me, the fun really went out the window. So we took a little step back this year, and we did just fine. Just fine. Imagine that. But if you're a sicko, and you listen to every one of these shows, which we appreciate, you came to the right place. Because while I may not be paying attention to my leagues, I am paying attention to these streets, these Dynasty streets, and what's going on out here. And it's rookie season, Maddie. I'm ready to rock. We're going to do a little mock draft tonight, you and me. We promised it. We teased it. Head to head. I took pick two, which means you're taking pick one.
I had pick one last time. You're going to give it to me again?
So nice. Yeah, why not? I love when people just let the guy I want anyways fall to number two. You know, like if I take him one, it's hot takey. But if I take two, then like, right. Sharp. Hey. You know what I mean? I'm setting you up for failure.
Okay.
I'm setting you up for massive failure. So let's set the ground rules, right? It's going to be a 12-team league. It's going to be super flex. We don't play none of that one QB nonsense. No offense if you do. Actually, full offense. Yeah. Well, fuck you guys.
I play one QB seasonal, Mike, with defensive kickers. People.
Jesus. Sometimes gagging's good. You know what I mean? And hint, wink, wink over the radio. Sometimes it's good. In that case, it's not. That was a very disgusting game. On it. So 12-team super flex. Let's call it a start 10. You know, that's pretty standard PPR league. Nothing else crazy. Half point tight end premium. And Maddie, we're going to draft each one of these teams, each one of these individual ones, as if we had that pick for that team, right? We're not drafting one big hodgepodge of fucking just me versus you. We're drafting individual teams here. So
not everyone brings it up and then they talk shit later.
Yeah. Well, most people do this like whole content thing pretty shittily, but I've gone on enough soapboxes these last few weeks. I think we'll let this one ride.
Especially when the NFL draft comes and goes. We're going to be on some more soapboxes.
If we got more people to listen to this thing, you know what I mean? If we got more people to rate and review and share and get it out to the people, holy shit. There would be some very mad content creators in the space. I'm pretty sure we could start a Kendrick, you know, Drake beef.
Podcast Wars version.
Here's the problem, man. We actually have a real rapper on our side, Fizz, so he would drop a diss track. We talked about that on Fizzle Friday that, yeah, we fucking nuke
yeah, it's like when Barstool gets in any type of beef, they just have Roan write the most hilarious raps. We got Fizz.
Perfect. See? We got Fizz. And just a programming note for everybody that listens here. Maddie, Fizz, and myself will be doing AMA on Wednesday night. So when you guys are listening to this Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, tune into the main channel, South Harmon Dynasty. Catch us three on there. And then, Maddie, you and me are doing the South Harmon Vibes Fizzle Friday Takeover. Our man Fizz is going to be at a Glorilla concert. Super jealous about that. God damn it, because she is made for Mike. I will leave it at that. He's going to be there. Plus, she's uber talented. So, yeah, it's jealousy on all levels. He's going to be there. Maddie and I are going to be doing the exciting whites edition of Fizzle Friday. the real scrappy, you know, real coaches, sons, you know, first in, last out kind of guy. we're going to be doing that edition. So, there's your programming note. Maddie, let's get right into the draft. You're picking first. All right,
so last time we only got through two rounds. Let's get through three. Let's power through here. Let's make it quick. We'll make it snappy. So we had the 1.0. This is our 4D chess rookie mock 2.0. Last time I had the 101. As we talked about earlier, I took Ashton Jeanty. This time I've come to Jesus, Mike. I've come to Jesus. And it's going to be Cameron Ward. Cam Ward's going to go first overall. In Superflex, the NFL is telling us there's one true QB in the class. You are a stone cold schmuck if you don't listen to the billion dollar corporations when it's this loud. So I'm going to go take Cam Ward in my Superflex format and grab a running back later on at this 101 spot.
All right, Maddie. Give me Shedeur Sanders at 2. I'm going to do a little strategery here. Need that quarterback. This quarterback class is a little bit lacking a lot of high-end talent. You just took the best one off the board. I think Shedeur is going to be fine. With the 102 pick, though, it kind of feels like a cop-out a little bit. I'm taking somebody that I believe has a very safe outcome and not a very high ceiling. So I thought about taking the running back, but I'm pretty sure as the QB hoarder, my credentials would get revoked if I took a running back over a guy who's projected to be at least a top 10 draft pick.
I am so convinced now he's a top 3 draft pick. Here's why. We'll get into free agency on the AMA on Wednesday night, so make sure to tap into that on the South Harmon Dynasty YouTube channel. But I am so convinced now that free agency has come and gone that the Browns and the Giants are honing in on these two quarterbacks. We saw Shedeur playing catch with Malik Nabers in the streets. And here's kind of the bro science that I want to bring to the table here. Owner John Mara is not happy with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And to save their jobs, people think they need to win. They don't need to win at a high level. They need to be better, and they need to make the owner happy. And what do we see in Hard Knocks? They lost their franchise. They lost their soul. They lost Saquon Barkley. You get Shedeur Sanders, you found your new soul. You found your new face. You found your new ticket seller. That makes ownership happy. So I don't think he gets past 3. The only reason he could get past 3 is if Ward is going to the Giants. I think if the Browns or the Titans take Ward, I am getting a strong feeling now that the Giants, Brian Daboll, have given assurances to primetime to Shedeur that he ain't getting that high. That's why we're hearing about this stuff about the combine. He just wasn't super interested in these back end teams, these back end top 10 teams. So I think he goes top three. So I like your pick.
I tried to convert our boy Johnny in the Savage chat last night to the dark side about, right, I get it, Joe Shane gets a lot of hate for the Saquon Barkley thing, and people are like, oh, you know, he's actually fine, and it was the right move. Like, the Giants fans try to tell themselves a story that it's completely okay that they let him walk, and that he went on to the season he had, and he wins the Super Bowl, and the Eagles reward him with a giant contract and say, like, we love you to death, and Eagles fans like me already put him in the Eagles Hall of Fame after one Super Bowl season. Champ, baby. You're a legend. Like, you're a legend. They try to tell themselves their story, but if you really look at Shane's record in drafting, it has not been great. Last class, though, I mean, you got five guys out of there. Andrew Phillips, you know, we know what Malik Nabers is. You got a nice running back in Tyrone Tracy, right? Like, you did fine. Tyler Newbin was good. The other classes before it, I went back for the last 3 years of Joe Shane, and I was trying to convert him, and I want to say it was like 8 of 24 were even, like, starter level, like-ish players, which, when you look at it, 33%, you go, oh, that ain't so bad. Compare it to Howie Roseman, who's at, I did the same exercise for him the last 3 years, 61%. 61%. And if you're getting doubled up in the fucking division over the last 3 years, I would say that your job isn't that great. Like, your job security isn't that great. You haven't done that great of a job. And then you couple everything Howie's done with bringing in free agents and Mekhi Becton and, you know, Saquon Barkley, bringing in Zach Bond. Yeah. Yeah, like he's done his fair share. So I'm kind of with you, man. I think Shane's job's on the line, and if you just take status quo, we're taking best player available, if that's Abdul Carter or, you know, Travis Hunter, and we're going to roll out whoever the fuck we're going to roll out at quarterback, you're destined to be looking for a new job next year, buddy. Like Adam Silver, man. Better learn Chinese, buddy. Better learn Chinese.
Go call John Cena. He can teach you Mandarin. He can talk to Mandarin real well.
There you go. Yeah,
he's a bad guy. Can't now. We'll talk about that maybe on Friday night, you know, on the marathon, baby.
Oh, excited to go to wrestling edition. Right,
this is going to be an hour and a half podcast, just alone if we do that. But now, anyone with the 103 seeing QBs go, I think they're going to be a little bit happy here with Ash and Jinty. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jinty. I think the door opens for him to be selected as early as 6th overall to the Raiders. Pete Carroll, we know he likes to run the rock. And Jinty is in a very talented class, but he's still at the top of the class. Omarion Hampton closed the gap. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, they put themselves, barking at the heels. But it's still Jinty's class to lose. And I think when he runs probably a low 4.5, 40, maybe even 4.9, given that home field advantage, I think that's going to solidify him as the first running back. And coming off the board to 103, I think this selection makes a hell of a lot of sense.
You meant low 4.4 or 4.49. Oh, you said 4.9. I'm like, if he runs a 4.9 at his pro
day, he ran the same as Shamar Stewart.
Who did he sprayed his ankle like Gunnar Helm?
You know what's
my God.
Run a 4.71
That'd
on
be
a
ridiculous.
Bum ankle.
Go.
Yeah.
Go.
It's pretty wild.
What a badass. Dog. Like, I need to draft him with the 312 just because. at the 4, then, since you took Jinty, I got him in the same tier now after the combine. I was very close before the combine. Combine solidified it for him. Give me Omarion Hampton.
So that is kind of the first pick here that differentiates us from the 1.0 to the 2.0, because we did have Jinty, Ward, Sanders come off the board the first three, but we had Travis Hunter come off fourth. This time it's Omarion Hampton. I am going to go ahead and take the highest player on my board here at the 105 and take Travion Henderson. If there is to be three running backs to go on day one, I believe it will be Jinty, Omarion Hampton, and Travion Henderson, given what Henderson provides in the passing game, in pass pro. And we know he's hard to bring down. He's a very, very tough tackle. And I think that these three running backs here, if there were three in the first, are going to warrant top five draft capital in our rookie drafts. So I'm going to go Travion here.
Oh, Travion, huh? I was a little disappointed in the combine. Definitely a little bit disappointed in the film session. So he's a big faller for me. Yeah, here we are. But Since you took a running back and you didn't take my other guy, let me go Jackson Dart here. I think Jackson Dart solidified himself as a first-round quarterback for fantasy purposes. Again, kind of like my Shador pick, very safe pick. It's a super flex league. I'm getting a quarterback who's going to end up as a mid to back end QB2, but I got a little bit of security and safety, and it'd be interesting to see if he'll actually go to a team that he doesn't have to play right away. You know, we had a little bit of free agency go on and some quarterback movement, but there are some teams who aren't secure for the long term, so it kind of feels like Jackson Dart's going to end up, you know, like with Seattle or maybe with the Jets or something like that, where it's like you don't Pittsburgh at 20. You don't have to come in and start right away. We're going to let you kind of fester and cook a little bit, and then we'll see how your development goes, which I think would actually be very beneficial to Mr. Jackson Dart, because he does have first-round quarterback talent. I am convinced of that now. Combine solidified it for me. So let me get a quarterback who's going in round one of this rookie draft at 106, and I will sleep.
Yeah, if Jackson Dart goes in the first round, I think he can go as high as the 104 in rookie drafts, and I'd be okay with it. I have heard a little bit of a drumbeat linking Jalen Milroe to the Steelers. I highly doubt that. I mean, they had literally this conundrum in front of them last year, and they chose the better thrower. They had Fields, they had Russell Wilson, and they benched Fields for Wilson. I think that's an indicator of how they want to operate this offense with a better accurate, just kind of up and down type passer that could fit Jack Stark. If he goes 20 of the Steelers with those big boys at the receivers position, yeah, I think he could. I think you could also make the argument he should go above Ginty, even if he gets that round one draft capital with the ceiling. So getting him at the sixth pick makes a hell of a lot of sense. Mike, I'm going to take the first receiver here, and I have been playing this in my mind since the combine. I have been racking my brain. I have been thinking about it over and over and over again in regards to the wide receiver position. And as of right now, Emeka Egbuka is my wide receiver one in the class. I feel like he has the safest floor, good ceiling. DC should be there. He's going to run in the 4.3s. I mean, the 4.4s. It's pro day. I think he's going to lock that in. But I am not going with Emeka Egbuka here. I am taking Travis Hunter. And here is why. Because if he goes to this particular team, he will be my number one wide receiver. And that is the New England Patriots. I was on record just a few months ago not loving that idea of the Patriots taking Hunter. The way they've attacked free agency and what we're hearing from their organization, that they view him as a wide receiver first, cornerback second, means Travis Hunter at the 107 is going to be an absolute robbery.
This one hurts my soul. Like, you did all that typing, hyping up Emeka Egbuka, and I was like, you heard somebody give me some. No, no, Maddie, not fair. Now, this puts me in a tough spot. I got to choose between whether I want to dip into my next tier of running backs or my next tier of wide receivers and which ones I feel more comfortable with. I think at this point, with the way the running back class is shaping up, with how many people are in this one that I really, really like and how the board's shaking out so far, you took Travis Hunter, which crushed me. I'm going to go with my number one wide receiver that doesn't also have a cornerback label that we're not really certain on yet. And that's Luther Burden. I thought Luther Burden had a really nice combine, solidified himself there in my mind as a wide receiver two-ish kind of guy with some upside. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be Malik Nabers for me, but hey, I could do just fine with another Devontae Smith type on my team. I would do just A-okay if that is his absolute fantasy ceiling. Are you worried at all
about the teeny tiny little hands that he has?
No. He still catches a football. That's Yeah, that only matters when you're a quarterback throwing in cold weather, right? Like, we've seen that. Unless you're Joe Burrow, then you're fine.
You can't hold a whopper, okay. Mike.
I mean, have you seen the whoppers nowadays? They're big.
And even the 8.5-inch hands, I still have them in my top-tier wide receiver. So I like what he brings to the table. But here now with the 109 as this being my pick, I'm very happy with Emeka Egbuka falling to me, like I said. I'm pretty confident in the round one draft capital coming his way in just a couple of months. Good landing spots on the horizon, and I just think he has the safest floor for me. So now coming up, getting him as the wide receiver three in this mock, he went 106 in our 1.0, so to get him at the 109 is a bit of a value, and I think that, given the fact that now we are past the midpoint of round one, being able to take away my wide receiver one, as long as Travis Hunter doesn't commit to wide receiver, I'm happy with it.
That's perfectly fine, man. I will stick with the wide receiver train here. Give me Tet McMillan here. You know, I fade him, but at some point I can't fade no more. At some point we get down to where Mike will draft Tet McMillan and be completely fine with it. I like Tet as a player. I just have some concerns, right? And I have enough concerns where I don't want to draft him with the top four rookie pick. But, you know, with the 110, I sure as fuck will draft Tet McMillan. Guy does ooze elite talent. Just a matter if he can put it together and figure out how to separate against insurance salesmen.
You know what's so funny? The last time we talked about Tet, we brought up the Dakario Davis corollary, and it felt like the world must have been listening to that pod, because I felt like immediately after the Todd McShays, the Joel Klatz, all the big dog draft analysts were starting to talk about their worry of his ability to separate, especially against big corners. It's like, y'all listen to the boys? Y'all listen to these exciting whites right now?
Exciting whites making noise.
So for me, I'm in a territory now. I'm not going to do any table talk, no bedtime. I'm going to have some solid bedside manner with one of my who I am considering here. But I'm going to keep the wide receiver train going. I'm going to take Matthew Golden. I know we've gone full circle. We've started at the bottom. He's rose to the top, and now everyone seemingly wants to throw him back down to the bottom. 4.29, tough receiver, good at the high point. Can kind of play inside, outside, kind of checks all the boxes for me in terms of his production, not necessarily the overall production, but production when it mattered most. Some of the underlying metrics, like yards per reception, were good. He had the over 2 yards per out run, which isn't dynamic in college, but again, it's above that threshold. So to get him here at the end of the first, I'm very happy with it. So I'm going to go ahead and take Matthew Golden here. Even if he gets the early round two draft capital, I'm still happy taking him at the end of the first.
I think that's very fair. Matthew Golden's an interesting one for me. I can't wait till we get to Texas film. This is a guy who could also rise up for me. Like, I think 111, 112, 201, somewhere in that range right now is very plausible for Matthew Golden, and I would also select him in this range. I do say after the film session, though, the guy has an opportunity to climb up a few spots, right? Where I took Luther Burden or maybe Jackson Dart or where Trevion Henderson was. Matthew Golden could be in that conversation if he has a good film session, because we obviously know the athletic testing was there. And then the stats don't look too bad for Mr. Golden, early producer as well. So I will take that. I like that Matthew Golden pick. Maddie, I got one more receiver in this tier. Might as well. You've taken every other one of them that I have, so I'm going to finish it off here with this first pick at the 112. Give me Trey Harris. I know some people will poo-poo the 4-5 in the combine. Trey Harris on film, though, he can fly. He can run. Maybe he's just not a really good 40-yard dasher, which I get because he's kind of got a long frame, but everything else about his game I absolutely fucking love. So I will take the discount on Trey Harris, because I was worried if he went out and blew up the combine, Trey Harris would jump to wide receiver one on just about everybody's boards, and he did not. He kind of got overshadowed by some other guys. So give me Trey Harris right there. And Maddie, what's so the 201?
This is the point of the draft where I just need to remind everyone listening why second round picks are so valuable. There's going to be a lot of nice, juicy, sink your teeth into it sex appeal here in the early part of the second, probably all the way through the second as we get into it. But I'm going to end the run here at wide receiver. I like the Trey Harris pick, but I'm going to go with my number 4 running back on the board and take Quinshon Judkins, coming in over 220 pounds, running the 4.48 under 4.45, under the 4.5, huge. And then we see the explosion, you know, between the broad jump, vertical jump, speed score, it's all there. And, you know, when I went back and watched your guys' film breakdowns and kind of, you know, shout out to Redwoods for putting that back on there. So if you're not there to make it live, it's so sick to be able to go back to it. But he popped on film too. He absolutely popped on film. So if we're talking about Quinshon Judkins at the 201, I mean, if we're sitting here next year and he was the best running back in this class on a fantasy production level, I don't think any of us will be really that shocked.
No. No, he's good. He's good. Right after we had that film session, after he blew up the combine, I updated my ranks for the rookie draft guide, draftguide25.com. Go check it out. It's in the description down below. Boop. Click it. Go get you one. I updated my ranks for this one. I got him in the same tier as the guy I'm going to take. My guy. Caleb Johnson, as I run to the podium. Give me Caleb. 40-time did not matter to
me. Didn't matter to the NFL.
Did not matter to me.
Didn't matter.
In game speed, it didn't matter to them either. He's fucking good. But yeah, Quinshon was a big riser. I put Quinshon in the same tier as I have Caleb Johnson, and I would have a hard time deciding between the two. That is how razor thin it is, and I'm the Iowa guy who loves Caleb Johnson. Quinshon is uber fucking impressive. Great pick. If I had both of those, Maddie, those were going to be my same picks. Same fucking picks. Give me those two running backs, and I'll figure out the rest of the running backs later, but those guys differentiate.
201, 202, regardless of how it went down, it would have went down like this. These two guys, I would have taken Caleb with the next pick. If he was there, I would have taken him with the 201 if Quinshon was off the board in round one. Now, I think in our more casual leagues, even in Superflex, I see Caleb and I see Quinshon as stone cold round one picks. You know, we understand roster construction a lot here. If you rock with 40 chess and South Harmon, you understand roster construction and warp and how important it is to get these pillars, these wide receivers in round one. So I think these two guys are good enough to be in round one, Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Johnson. Now at the 203, this is going to be the first tight end off the board. We got the slight tight end premium, which is why I did not take one in round one, but I'm going to go with my tight end one as of right now, Colston Loveland. And I don't see the draft capital between the two premier tight ends being all that different. I have obviously come to Jesus in regards to Harold Fannin. His RAS score came out today. It was not impressive. I think it's the end of the road for Fannin in terms of my excitement for him. But Colston Loveland went up when he came in weighing at 6'6", 248. When did these dudes come in actually bigger than listen at school? I mean, you get the Fugazi weight, the guys who need to prove that they're heavier, that type of thing. But when does a guy show up and is genuinely an inch taller, 10 pounds heavier than expected, and he looked every bit of 6'6", 250 pounds, and I think he's going to get that top 20 draft capital. You know, he's a bona fide tight end prospect from jump. This was supposed to be his class, and, you know, he got hurt. So I'm going to take Colston Loveland here with the 2-3.
Hey, I like it. First tight end off the board. Like it being spicy. Maddie, I'm going to stay within the state of Iowa for this next pick, and it's going to be a wide receiver, but not one that plays for the Hawkeye because we don't have any of those, really. None that I can name. Give me Jaden Higgins here. The guy that I thought was going to be the Mike Thomas clone all of a sudden ended up being the Nico Collins clone. But Nico Collins, if he produced in college. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so excited, man. I'm taking an ISU player at the early part of the second round. Punch me. Punch me. Jaden Higgins. Let's go, man. I got him right now. A little preview of the draft guide. It's my 14th overall player. 14. Jaden Higgins was that goddamn impressive to me. Let's go, Cyclones.
We're
going to have to cut that.
What did you just talk about?
Yeah.
No, you said something about a guy. What are you referring to?
Draft guide. Draft guide, Maddie. We did a lot of work on this.
South Harmon has a draft guide?
Pretty good.
Should our listeners go get our draft guide?
We do.
Yeah, because now we're cooking with gas. You know, of course, it was our first one ever. We had a couple of bugs. I had to fix it. We went back. Big updates, and updates will continue to come. You buy it today, and we have three updates from now to the NFL draft or until your draft kicks off. You will get all of those free. So get that now. Start getting advantage in your league. So, yeah, get that draft guide. I got Higgins at 16. So, we Gucci gang here. We're brothering here. We're talking kin here.
High five.
So, here we're looking at we're kind of in the muck here at running back where it's kind of just pick your flavor, right? I don't know if we're really sitting in a spot where you could truly predict who's going to emerge after the top five. There will be that emerge. Don't get me wrong. This class is deep. But I think this is part where we get into that area. It's what's your flavor? Kind of see where you can get your value. So I'm going to go here and look at value. I'm going to look at a player that balled out this past year. This guy, you know, late breakout, but there is some reason to that kind of explains it. Came to college as a quarterback, played behind, you know, you listed athletic freak after athletic freak after athletic freak. But this year he got the chance. He had over 1,100 yards, played all over the place. So give me Tyler Warren here.
Maddie out here gobbling up all the tight ends, every single tight end, which is completely fine because I wasn't going tight end. I wasn't going. You got to know well, your league.
Listen,
Maddie.
If
know
we were playing league. It straight up where it was me and you, I wouldn't have taken either one of these guys because they'd be there at the 308 and 309.
Know your league. Jalen Knoll. Give me Jalen Knoll, the other ISU wow, wide receiver. Also uber impressive at the combine.
They're super fans.
Hey, man, I took Caleb Johnson first before I took any of these guys.
That's fair. Right, you set the groundwork just so you didn't break any Hawkeye hearts. You understand?
I did. Exactly. We took Caleb, then we take ISU wide receivers. Jalen Knoll.
You know the face, you know the name, baby.
Maddie, also super impressive. Tore up the combine, tore up the Senior Bowl, tore up the actual Big 12. I don't know what else you want to see from him. And, hey, Maddie, he actually checked off one more box at the combine that nobody seems to be talking about, but I'm going to talk about it. When he measured in at the Senior Bowl, he was under 5'10". At the combine, he was 5'10 and a quarter. He was just over, just enough. So now he goes into a completely different bucket for all of us height snobs. He's not under 5'10". Let's go. Let's
the
go.
Thing about Jalen Knoll, too, that I just cannot, I can't ignore the vertical. 41 and a half vert with that athleticism. I think that's going to translate well. And now I'm kind of just in the spot here. So if I was going true to my ranks, I'd go to the running back well. And if you are looking at my ranks, take it as a grain of salt. I mean, take it as who goes where. I'm not one of these guys that tells you he's my number one player, but I'm not taking him to the 201. That's cockamamie. That's unactionable. That's goofball shit. Mm. That's not me. But I will say, in this exercise, I want to try something new. This guy went in the mock 1.0, but he went he kind of went in the exact same region. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm seeing so many running backs. And if you're drafting before you know where the landing spots are, you can kind of just throw it in a bucket and kind of see what falls to you. But for me, after the combine, there's a sizable drop after this player. You talked about making a massive difference in Indianapolis. I'm going to take Jalen Milroe. Reason being, the hands. That's simple. The hands. That's simple.
Ooh.
You know, the hand size measured in Mobile was, and I know that sounds goofy, guys. I understand talking about another human being's hand size is as goofy as it gets. But that statistic at the quarterback position is undefeated. It has never lost. He comes in with 9.38 hands, man hands, matches the body. I don't know, was he just not spreading his hands? Like, what the hell happened? Don't care. I'm a lot more comfortable taking him, and I think the NFL will be. I don't see him getting outside of the first two rounds. Could he go in round one? I don't think so, but could he be, you know, the experimental draft selection in the top 50? Yeah, I absolutely see that happening. So now at the 2-7, give me probably the last quarterback that I'll be sniffing around for a while.
Hey, I don't mind it at all. That's getting pretty fucking spicy for some people, but the upside there is massive. Absolutely massive. Nice pick, Maddie. All right, I'm going to stick to my ranks since you're just shooting me in the foot and I don't get to do anything fun other than draft the way I rank
them. You created the monster.
Next guy I have on my board, we just did a film session on him right after I proclaimed Cam Ward the 101. I also proclaimed how much I fucking love Damian Martinez. Just a tank. Always falling forward. Combine was good. No red flags there. And the film is absolutely awesome. It's awesome to watch. And he split carries the whole time with Mark Fletcher. Like, the film was quick to get through because he's only getting 13, 14 carries a game. And the people would be like, oh, that might be a red flag. Quinshon Judkins did the same thing. And just like Quinshon Judkins, we watched Damian Martinez when he was a young pup as a freshman and a sophomore absolutely carry a lesser team on his back every single game. So I know he can handle the workload. He just so happens to look even better when you keep him a little bit more fresh. So Damian Martinez really, really impressed me. Big riser for me in this one. We're taking him here. Maddie, where did he go in the last one?
Yeah.
Same range. Fucking range.
105. Wow. Yep.
Who knew?
Well, those.
Okay. Big riser up my ranks, but just so happens. that you must have had the 205.
No, because I definitely was the guy who took Scatabo, I would imagine.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, because then the next one after that was Warren. You weren't taking Warren.
One of us did.
But the big difference I'm seeing right now, when we're just looking at our ADP from 1.0 to 2.0, is the run on receiver has kind of moved the needle a little bit. We had a big run on running backs in the 1.0, which I could see happening in when it's really draft season. Now, I'm ready here. I'm going to plant my flag. This is going to be the Matty Kiwum flag plant at the running back position. This is the guy that I am putting above everybody else in terms of kind of consensus, the running back that I am ready to plant my flag on, and that is DJ Giddens. So I'm going to go ahead and take him here. I have him now after the combine as my running back six. And the reason really is just this: big, fast, explosive, checks all the boxes. The NFL is going to love this kid. And he's just one of those talents I'm okay taking a swing on pre-NFL draft, because even if the DC isn't necessarily as exciting as the Cam Scatabos, when this guy gets his chance at the NFL, what he'll be able to do with it is not like what I believe Cam Scatabo and R.J. Harvey and Bashul Tootin will be able to do. This guy is a grown-ass man, can lay the lick in pass pro, tough. And he's a mega producer. I mean, just look at his player card. It's just riddled with 1,000-yard rushing seasons. So Giddens is my guy here, I think. But again, we talk about pick your flavor. Damian Martinez, I have met running back 13. I love him nearly as much. It's just that's where we're in that time where these running backs were as special as we thought, tested as well as we thought. The NFL is telling us now that they don't give a flying rat's patootie about these free agents. Najee was the only one that we've seen signed, right? It was a 1-year Fugees deal.
Well, you saw Javonte Williams for 1 year, $3 million.
Yeah, I mean, let's go. I mean, talk about being as lukewarm can get going after him day one.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the 1 year, $9.5 million contract came out for Najee, I was like, damn, that's good money. That's RB1 money. Then it comes out today, a day later. It's actually a 4 or 5.25 base. That, my friend, isn't a lock. That doesn't tell me that if Harbaugh's able to get his hands on one of these dynamic running backs in round two, he won't pull the trigger. So the NFL is ready for this running back revolution.
The only other thing that I saw from the running back news that made its rounds for free agent signing is somehow Samaje Perine worked himself into a 3-year, like $22 million deal, and I have no idea how the fuck that happened.
Out that it just like it boiled down to like the most Fugees ass deal in the history of Fugees ass deals.
It's whatever. What the fuck is this? It's like, man, the Chiefs like 4-string running back out here deal. What are we doing? All right, but good for them. Maddie, I'm gonna stick with the running back train. Running back just delayed a little bit from the previous mock draft, like you were talking about. Give me Cam Scatabo. We danced around his name. Listen, I will say this about Cam Scatabo. We didn't learn a whole lot at the combine. At least a lot of people were disappointed he didn't run the 40, me as well. The one thing I can point to, and it's a pretty good correlation, Cam Scatabo did jump out of the building. Like, he had very good vertical and very good broad jump. And if you have that, I usually trust your explosiveness in the 40. Like, it would have been fine. He wasn't going to go out there and run a 4.75. Like, you don't have that vert, you don't have that broad jump, and be absolutely just terrible, right? Good calves, they translate to a lot of different aspects of athleticism. So the 40 would have been just fine. And I thought he looked pretty decent in the drills as well. So Cam Scatabo here. Just interested to see what the NFL does with him. I think he's going to be completely fine, but it's perfectly awesome to get him at the 210 right now as things stand.
This is what just sometimes just absolutely puts my nuts in a vice grip. A year ago, everyone was out there celebrating, hooting, hollering, Blake Corum, get Blake Corum. Is Blake Corum and Cam Scatabo not just the Spider-Man meme?
Yeah. Yeah, except I might be
Cam
more excited.
Cam Scatabo is a hell of a lot. He's a better receiver on paper and on film. So, yeah, I mean, getting him at the end of round two, great, great, great value here. Let's keep the choo-choo train going. 211, I am going to take probably one of the biggest risers coming out of the combine. One of the most athletic freaks we've seen at this position. After coming out of the combine, second highest broad, best 40, best vert, best speed score.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Come on down,
don't
baby.
Don't do it. Son of a bitch.
He's just the NFL, he's going to rise up a lot of people's ranks. He's got a high enough BMI, right, coming in over 200 pounds. Yeah, he's at 5'9", so he's not necessarily as big as some of the other guys in this class, but the athleticism certainly pops.
This one, that made me sad. Made me sad. But that's fine. You take Bashil Tutin from me. I'm going to take my guy then. He was my guy a long time ago, and then he fell off, and nobody remembered him, and we all made fun of him. And then the combine happened, and all of a sudden we went, oh, shit. He actually is almost everything that we ever wanted.
Yes.
Rocket Sanders, welcome back to relevancy.
Oh, yes.
Let's go, Rocket. Welcome back, man, where you deserve to be in the second round of rookie drafts like it was destined all along. The Debbie fatigue will not get me this time. Rocket Sanders.
I love the Rocket Sanders
Let's
call.
Let's go, buddy.
He absolutely shot up my ranks. If I could get one bit of information from the NFL, it might be this. How did they view kind of that post-hype sleeper running back? Because Raheem Sanders, Donovan Edwards, those guys were billed as some of the kings of this class a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, they didn't have a good 24 season, but then they look good in Indy. So how do these team builders feel about the higher ranked prospect throughout their career? Because these guys don't scout in 1 year spurts. It's a continuation of high school to the college to the pros. And I love it. I think Raheem Sanders could absolutely be the steal of the draft here. But as every draft goes, we go to the 301. There comes a bit of a cleanup here where you just start picking up what's left. It's crazy to think because this running back class is so deep. So I'm just going to keep cleaning it up. I'm going to take RJ Harvey. Good RAS score, good athlete. Good producer at UCF. Seems like he will fit well in an NFL offense. I have him as a top 10 back of the class. He has the seventh highest speed score. That's what we're looking for, especially a guy coming in, 5'8", 205, a bit small. We want to make sure that speed score translates. He gets top 7 in the class. Like I said, producer, I think he's going to be, even if he doesn't have that defined role out the gate, he's talented enough that once he gets a bit of opportunity, he could certainly pop. Not a comparison in terms of skill set or how it looks on the field, but how his career rolls out. I can see it happening very similarly to David Johnson. Remember how Johnson didn't really have a whole lot of hype? He was a firm backup, but he just kept hitting home runs, and then he became a beast. I could see something like that for Harvey.
Hey, I don't mind that one. That's not a bad little correlation right there. Maddie, with the 302, which is nuts to say, I still really like this guy, and I still have him ranked really high. But he ran the slowest 4.39 in history. The slowest 4.39 in history, apparently. Give me Isaiah Bond. Everything I love about Isaiah Bond before the combine, I still love about Isaiah Bond now. I don't know what's changed other than the fact he came out and said he was going to run a 4.18 and everyone clowned him now when he ran a 4.39. Like I said, slowest 4.39 in history. If he hadn't said a goddamn word, if he hadn't said anything and just went out and ran this 4.39, he wouldn't have changed an iota in people's minds. None would have been fast guy ran fast. Nice. Hit the metrics. But because he promised a 4.1, we got a 4.39. Everybody's pissed. And now he's dog shit. The film don't lie. The fucking kid is a burner. The kid accelerates ridiculously well. He's a better route runner than you think. And he has decent production. That is probably my only concern about him is the production just wasn't super consistent. Other than that, Isaiah Bond is
my guy. I hate the prospects like Isaiah Bond and will never draft them. And it's my own personal preference. As a salesman in my day job, you got to under-promise, over-perform, over-deliver. I cannot stand these motherfuckers that promise me the world and fall flat in their face. The quintessential example of that is Treylon Burks. I mean, that guy was... When he was playing at Arkansas, they talk about how he killed pigs with a knife in his bare hands, that he had to get these special made gloves for him coming out of college, that when he was at Arkansas. They needed to have these Brock Lesnar type gloves made, and comes out, he has smaller hands than 5'8" Sky Moore. Then he says he's going to melt faces at the combine. Shit. And runs a mediocre 4.5. He is the quintessential version, but Bond's not far behind for me. I mean, he didn't do a diddly squat in college. And I remember seeing him, not this year at the combine, last year at the combine, at, you know, St. Elmo's, getting that delicious shrimp cocktail, wearing this big 007 chain. Kid's got balls, man, but he, I don't know if he's good at football. So at the 302, you're taking chances. Ain't nothing wrong with chances. Ain't nothing wrong with chances.
Why
Ain't
not?
Nothing wrong with chances.
Why not, Maddie?
And then everyone, this is why we can't stop talking about this running back class. You could take a shot at the 302. Let's say you have the 302 and the 305. Take your shot on Isaiah Bond, because there's still motherfucking running backs that are worth taking a few picks later. So yes. I completely understand the pick, commend the pick. My next pick is kind of cut from the same cloth, a player that I don't really like. I don't know what he's going to do at the NFL level, but he tested well. He's big. And I think he's going to get pretty promising draft capital. So he fell here to the third round. So I'm going to take Elik Amanor there.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I like him a lot. That's a good one too, Maddie. I'm going to break the seal, finally. I've had six chances, right? Six different teams I've drafted for, and I haven't taken this fucking position yet. Give me tight end one, Luke Lachey. Luke Lachey. You might not even find him on Sleeper. I don't know. Sleeper. Get your shit together. Give me college football and Luke Lachey. Luke Lachey, man. Everything that people love about Colson Loveland, I could say the same thing about Luke Lachey. They look like spitting images outside of production. And one of them, I have very good rationale on why I can explain that one away. And that's because it's Iowa, and we have Cade McNamara as our quarterback. Had Cade McNamara as our quarterback, and Luke Lachey had a devastating Mark Andrews light injury, right? Very, very similar. That stupid hip drop tackle. Stumbling over my words. I'm getting all torn up here just thinking about it. We've seen with Mark Andrews last year. Took him a while. Remember, Isaiah Likely is going to take that job and Mark Andrews is dust. And then lo and behold, towards the end of the year, Mark Andrews doing Mark Andrews things. So those ankle fractures sometimes take a little bit to heal. So it could be a good explanation of why, on top of Cade McNamara, his production was so bad last year. But that all being said, I think he still ended up as Iowa's third leading receiver. He's still the third leading receiver on that whole entire team. Luke Lachey, I love him. Size. Speed tore it up at the Shrine Bowl, the unheralded Shrine Bowl. Absolutely wild scouts there. So I think that's going to stick. I would expect him to get subsequent draft capital somewhere in that third to fifth round range to a team that's going to use him appropriately. So give me my tight end one, Luke Lachey, and I'm very happy.
And I know a lot of people, you know, everyone's listening. This is a podcast. This is the audio medium. But Mike has a little poster over his right shoulder. Sometimes, listen, people, do we have to make things harder on ourselves? Sometimes it's as easy as take a shot on a pattern. Take a shot on a trend. And, I mean, Iowa clearly can produce tight ends. I mean, we keep going back to the well for the Penn State tight ends, whether it be Brenton Strange, Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, or now it's going to be Tyler Warren. You know, show that same energy. And you're getting them at a two-round, well, in our draft, there's a round discount, but in casual drafts, it's probably going to be more like a three-round discount. So I think that's smart here. At the running back position here, looking at the 305, if I had this pick and this was the board to play out, I'm in a tier right now. This is actually my third tier at running back. There's three guys still available, and I don't know which one I would choose. So I'm just going to kind of venture off to other positions, kind of see who's there. Who can I kind of just pick off as I wait for this tier to maybe kind of come to me? And there's a certain player that stands out, a player that I loved coming into the 2024 season. Didn't have a great 2024 season, was hurt, so he didn't really get the pop. He's really been forgotten about, but he showed up in Indy, 6'2", 196, good 40-yard dash. I'm taking him. I'm not saying this. This is not a bit. Folks, this guy, Like I said, he was a playmaker. I think he has a chance to be a slot plus at the NFL level. And those guys translate. Those are the type of receivers that can stick on even lineup leagues when you get them in the third round. So I'm going to go ahead and take Torrey Horton here.
I am fucking devastated.
See, you got to know your draft room. You knew I wasn't going to take Lachey. You should have taken Horton.
I should have shut the fuck up when I gave it to you earlier about Maddie. You got to know your room.
You should know the room. You knew I wasn't taking Lachey.
You've done nothing but fuck me ever since. And it's not consensual. I don't like it. Oh, my God. Fine, man. That is, I was like, I'm going to sneak Torrey Horton in right here and just look like a genius. And Maddie, God, all right. Fuck it. Ollie Gordon at this point. God damn it, Maddie. God damn it. I hate you.
Listen, I'm not trying to, I wasn't trying, this isn't a bit. Torrey Horton has got himself into the round three level in Superflex.
To get back on track, yes, you touched on some things. I mean, we talked about it on the podcast. I had no idea he was going to show up and be able to perform at Indy. And then when I see him out there, I'm like, oh, no, this is going to tank anything I had, right? This is what's going to stick with it. And he goes out and he runs and you go, holy shit. Holy shit, 4.4. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, you've only been able to run for 3 weeks and you're out here just casual 4.4? With the production and the film and everything, I did the draft write-up for him because of this show. You told me it was still open. I love Torrey Horton. And for him to show up at Indy and do what he did there, I went, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. The fucking dog. He's a dog, too. Let's go. He also calls Tyler or Travis Hunter his son.
Yes, he does. Yes, by the way.
Go watch that 23 game. He's my son. Him and A.O. Manor can both call Travis Hunter their son.
Factually correct in big ways. Only 5 games last year, but he did post a 3.45 yards per out run. And as a player that's considered kind of a primary slot guy, I think that's impressive, even if it's only 5 games, because he has had pretty solid, you know, yards per out run metrics in the past. And I think here, if gun to my head, and I'm an NFL scout, I'm an NFL team, I'd rather have Horton over A. Romain or Bond. I'm happy to get him at the 3.5. And now I'm seeing a pattern, Mike, which is kind of insane. Huge run at wide receiver in round one because why? Hashtag we understand roster construction. Only 2 receivers taken in round two, and now we're at 3 already in round three. And it's because of these running backs. At the 3.07, this could go down as the legendary league-winning pick in rookie drafts, and I truly, truly mean that. Came to the combine, didn't wow, but man, the film, when you watch it, it does wow you. And then you look at some of the explosion metrics, like the broad jump, the vertical. You know he's an athlete. You know he has the burst to win at the NFL level. And getting Devin Neal here at the 3.7 when he went to 2.03 in Mach 1.0, we're just cleaning up the backs, baby.
Yo. What? Can you see my fucking screen?
When you do the whole scouting together, you become an old married couple. It's like, you know, owners with dogs. When you both get older, you look alike. That's like how our rankings end up, man. But I mean, let's be honest, though. Ollie Gordon, Devin Neal, that would have been the back-to-back picks because whoever you were taking, I was taking the other.
God, man, I even had him highlighted. I was queuing up what I was going to say
folks,
about
it's
him.
Not a bit. It's not a bit.
No, I've got to look over my shoulder. Is Maddie in the same fucking room as me? Okay, fine. All right, I'm going to the next one. Like, and I love these guys, but after Maddie steals my thunder, it feels like a letdown when I say their name.
Yep.
Give me Rashad Smith here. I don't know why people are mad or disappointed in him at all. Like, he ran a 4.39. His speed score is damn near 105. Just stop. Stop being upset. The guy can flat out ball, and it's one of my favorite type of archetypes to take in the third round. Those wide receivers who convert to running back. And this is that dude. This is my next Antonio Gibson. This is my next Tyrone Tracy. This is that guy. I'm very happy to get him here. No offense, Rashard, but I did want Devin Neal just before you, though. But you're a nice consolation prize.
Rashard's still a little bit of ways where I would select him. Not because I don't think he's good, but he's just he's not necessarily where I would take. I think it's a little early, but again, third round, that's exactly what you want. This guy's going to have a passing down role from rip, right? I mean, even if he doesn't get the draft capital that makes everyone super excited, the speed's there, the athleticism is there. He's going to be at least a pass catcher, like you mentioned. And I think in casual leagues, he's going to probably be potentially there in the fourth, mid-fourth. Nah, I love that. I love that. So player-wise, taking him at the 3-8, again, good pick. Now I'm going to take the last running back in this tier in my rankings. It's going to surprise some, but again, I'm just going back to the post-hype sleeper. Well, give me Donovan Edwards. Donovan Edwards came in a combine 5'11", 205, 4'4", 440, good vert, speed scores in the top 10, former five-star prospect, national champion. This is the type of guy I think that could come off the board and people are like, why would an NFL team take him over, you know, some of these other running backs? I think it's because he has the pedigree, and if he's healthy, I think he could be a difference maker at the running back position. That's why I have him ranked pretty highly. He's in, again, my third tier of running back, but let's face it, folks. It's pick your poison here at this stage of the draft, and I'm happy to get him to 3-9.
Hey, I'm just glad you didn't steal my guy again. You started out, and I was getting worried. Post-hypes, yeah, you're starting. I was like, oh, no, here we go again. Little fatigue. Give me
nice.
Trevor Etienne right here. Last running back I have in this tier. Trevor Etienne. Not that I think Donovan Edwards is bad. I just really wanted Trevor Etienne. Again, I don't understand why people are disappointed. Maybe it's because he only weighed 198. You know, didn't quite hit 200, but he ran a 4.42. Speed score is well over 100 as well. And the production at Georgia was very, very fine, considering what they do at Georgia. Rotate running backs out the motherfucking ass. So Trevor Etienne, I like what I see from him. And I think he's going to make some team really happy in the third, fourth round, maybe fifth round at the worst in the NFL draft. He's going to have a role coming into the league right away. And if James Cook can do it, why the fuck can't
you hit the nail right square on the head? We were shocked. If you can remember when James Cook was the third running back off the board, it was Breece, Kenneth Walker, James Cook.
Yes, sir.
And it's almost the exact same story. I know the class wasn't as loaded, but the NFL does, again, they scout these kids from jump. There's another ETN in the league that went in the first round. We saw that with Dalvin. We saw that with James. I think ETN could be drafted higher than many expect because there ain't nothing wrong in the profile. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, where would he? I don't think it's crazy to say, Mike, and I'd love to hear your point on this. If you could go back in time and make Trevor Etienne a 2024 rookie, you could make the argument that he could have been the best running back in the class. Which is absurd, but I think when we just look at the difference, I know people can go, what the fuck? Well, look what fucking Irving did. Remember what you were thinking a year ago. No one had Bucky Irvin like Bucky Irvin balled out. Okay, so let's put a cork in that. Etienne could have been the number one running back off the board, in my opinion. That's just the difference of the classes. But good pick here in the third round. Again, we're throwing darts at players that we think could find a role as early as year one, and especially at running back. But I'm going to get off the running back position. I'm going to pivot to wide receiver because now we're starting to get to slim pickings. We're starting to get to the roster cloggers potentially. And I think that this player will emerge above the roster clogging category at wide receiver. So I'm going to take Jack Besh. You know, he's got the size. We know he's a route runner. I felt like he could have been a lock for day two. Had he run the 40, had he run it quick, he didn't. It's okay. The drills, he looked good. One of the best gauntlets of the day. So I'm going to go ahead and take Jack Besh here.
I like that, Maddie. I had a tough choice between these two, but I'm going to go with my guy to set it up to finish off the draft. I wish I would have got to see him at Indy. I think he would have gone out and wowed people. I liked what he did in college, especially the progression. 2 years ago, he stood out to me watching a certain game at the beginning of the year, and I went, oh, shit, who's this guy? And he did it with two other really dynamic wide receivers on the team with him. And then this past year, it was all him, baby. It was his time to shine. That's Kyren Lacy. Kyren Lacy, I think, is going to make some people stand up when he gets the draft capital. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to get second round draft capital, but when he goes in the third or fourth round, and after he kills it at his pro day, boom. Like, oh, Kyron Lacy, we're going to have to go back and check the film. We didn't get to see him in Indy. I talked about it on this podcast a little bit. There was a hit-and-run fatal accident that he was wanted for questioning in. His lawyer released a statement that he wasn't even in the car that was involved in the accident. He was just at the location and left. We'll see how the legal situation plays out, but from my early estimation, my non-lawyerism, it's looking pretty decent here. Once upon a time, we also just dunked on Xavier Worthy before we knew the facts. So we kind of have a history of doing this shit. So let's maybe cool the jets a little bit and let it play out. But Kyron Lacy, at least as a football player, just about everything that you want. 6'3", 210, 215 pounds. He runs well. He's good after the catch. And he definitely has that dog in him from his emptying the clip celebrations that he wanted it. To do all the time in college. Maybe yeah, chill on those matters. Just a little bit. Love the enthusiasm. Just stop getting flags. Stop getting flags. Kyron Lacy, that's going to be my flag plant. End of the third round.
Way it is now, you can take him. If your rookie draft goes six rounds, you could probably get him in the sixth. But I don't have him ranked in my top 40 wide receivers, but that is strictly because of the situation. Being asked to not go to Mobile, not getting the invite to Indy, red flags. But like you said, all it takes is for that situation to dissipate. The NFL understands that, you know, he's not a murderer behind the wheel, all that stuff. I mean, Jordan Davis was drafted in the first, not Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter was drafted in the first round. So there is a precedent for teams not necessarily having that kill or take a player off their board. If Kyron Lacy shows up to LSU Pro Day, looks good, comes in, you know, the 6'2", 200 pounds, runs fast, the NFL puts him back on the board, this could be a guy that, you know, if you're telling me between Kyron Lacy or Isaiah Bond, and I know you're not going to agree with this because you like the Bond, I'm Lacy could be as high as that player, you know, as high as Bond, as high as A.O. Manor for me. And when I see him on the field as a player, it's just the situation I needed to, you know, take him off. But I don't mind it there. I don't mind it.
Some notable players that we didn't draft. Jalen Royals was going to be very, very next pick for me if I had one. Elijah Royal, Mason Taylor, Taj Brooks, Woody Marks, Dylan Sampson. And then we get to this group of quarterbacks that I have no idea what the fuck to do with, whether they're good or not good, or the NFL is going to care or draft them with any kind of capital where they're even going to get an opportunity. Quinn Ewers, Will Howard, Kyle McCord. For me, that would be the next group. I lumped them all together in my ranks because I have no idea what the hell is going to happen, and I don't really care to pick between them. Kyle Williams, Ty Felton, Terrence Ferguson had himself a hell of a combine. Kind of forgotten from back in the day. We talked about a lot of post-hype sleepers. Mm-hmm. Mario Williams. I have him ranked up here pretty high. Jimmy Horn Jr., I like him. LaQuinn Allen, Jarquez Hunter, Jaden Blue, Dylan Xavier Dylan. Restrepo. Harold Fannin fell a absolute metric fuck ton for me.
And it's not even down my board for me, it's just me understanding how the NFL is going to view him. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, a lot of guys in that range where I just go, I don't really know. Some notable interesting ones, just ones I wanted to bring up. We kind of talked about it a little bit last week. But DK, Shamir DK. Out of Florida, formerly of Wisconsin. Interesting one. Went back and looked a little bit at his film. I kind of like his film. The production isn't that bad. Maybe, just maybe, Maddie. Maybe, just maybe we got a Tyquan Thornton 2.0 on our hand. Maybe. Or it could end up just being Deontay. Another Thornton. Who knows? Who knows what we have here? But those are some of the nailable ones. And then you and I think we're holding hands on this one. You talked about it last week. I don't get this Tyler Shuck thing.
When is this? Tell me when this has happened. Tell me when. I've heard this, and I don't know if you've heard this. I've heard people use the Kurt Warner ascension. It's like, what? What are you talking? Oh. So the guy that had a movie made after him because it was that rare of occurrence, you're gonna put it? And I listen, I wasn't falling for the Spencer Rattler stuff last year. You could take all this jumping over adversity, being great in the room. The guy's been in college for 7 years, and we never thought of him as a draft prospect. And now you're supposed to tell me a team should take him in the second round? I just don't see. I don't understand it. Hard pass.
Pass. I did want to throw out one other name that was kind of interesting, especially post-combine when I was following up even more and doing my ranks. CJ Dupree.
Oh, that's the benching god. 30 reps on the bench, baby.
Look at that dude. What an animal.
Yep.
Raz number off the fucking charts, too, for a tight end, right? It's like Zach Kuntz when he went to Alabama.
People, that means something. Zach Kuntz went to Old Dominion. Alabama players can get overdrafted. We've seen it a gajillion times.
They could. Well, maybe a little CJ Dupree. Like, if we're doing this five rounds, I'm probably taking a CJ Dupree, you know, in some of those that we're doing, man. If we did this 100 times, I'll probably walk away with
Kate
20 of them.
Otten and Payne Durham posted fantasy weeks for the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Maddie, there we go. A little over an hour. Rookie mock. We didn't go an hour and a half. I need the song for tonight, though. What are we doing? What are we rocking?
Oh, man, I didn't even think it. I mean, I've been just listening to a ton of... You know what? There's been a lot of hatred, either for Drake, Kendrick, however you sit in the aisle. But I want the folks listening to us to remember when they worked together and made one of the greatest rap songs of that era. Let's play a little fucking Problems. Drake, A$AP Rocky, and Kendrick Lamar. Because all three of those verses are absolute blackout dope verses.
This is exactly why what I called Fizz and I said, what do you think about the Exciting Whites edition in your stead? And he goes... Tell you what, I listen to the podcast every single week, and Maddie is killing it with these music selections. I think he's going to be a perfect fit. You're a shoo-in, my guy. Great selection. You got anything else for
no,
the people
I just,
before we
you know,
bounce
just gotta
out of here,
keep
buddy?
Repeating. SouthHarmonFF.com, South Harmon YouTube channels. We got two going right now. Another one is about to launch. The Rookie Guide is live. And, of course, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Become a member of the community because we're going to take a quick snooze. It's going to be quicker than a hiccup, and the season will be here. So you want to be rocking with South Harmon.
Let's go. I appreciate everybody's tapping in. That'll do it for us tonight. Like Maddie said, go make sure you're checking out the YouTube channels. Like and subscribe to those. Rate and review this podcast. Let us know what you think. Repost it on socials. Put it in your leagues. Do whatever. And then, as always, if you need more in-depth, we got something for everybody. Patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Film sessions. Mock Draft Mondays. Data. Analysis. Or... You want to jump up to that big boy tier and come hang out with us every single day and just shit post your ass off. You want that instant gratification too when you ask a question? There's six dudes in there answering it immediately. The Savage tier is where you want to be. Come join the big dogs. We appreciate y'all. We're going to bounce out of this thing. We will see you back here same time, same place next week for another edition of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We love you. We are out of this thing. Peace. Bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. If finding somebody real is your fucking problem, bring your girls to the crib, maybe we can solve it. Hey. Hold up, bitches in my dime. Taking hella long, bitch, give it to me now. Make that thing pop like it's in me over nine. Ooh, baby, like it raw with the shimmy, shimmy, yeah, huh? ASAP, get like me. Never met a motherfucker fresh like me. All these motherfuckers wanna dress like me. But the chrome to your dome make you sweat like me. Cause I'm the nigga, nigga. Like how you figure, getting figures and fucking bitches. She rolling switches, bought her bitches. I bought my niggas, they getting bent up off the liquor. She love my licorice, I let her lick it. They say money make a nigga act niggerish. But at least a nigga, nigga rich. I be fucking broads like I be fucking bald. Turn a dyke bitch out, have a fucking bars. Beast. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad.
a song.
Oh, I know you love it when this beat is on. Make you think about all of the niggas you've been leading on. Make me think about all of the rappers I've been feeding on. Got a feeling that's the same dudes that we speaking on. Oh, word, ain't heard my album, who you sleeping on? You should print the lyrics out and have a fucking read along. Ain't a fucking sing along unless you brought the weed along. And just, okay, I got it. Then just drop down and get your eagle on. Or we can stay up at the stars and put the Beatles on. All the shit you talking about is not up for discussion. I will pay to make it bigger, I don't pay for no reduction. If it's coming from a nigga, I don't know, then I don't trust it. If you coming from my head, then motherfucker get the bussin'. Yes, Lord, I don't really say this often, but this long dick nigga ain't for the long talking, I beast.
I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem.
If finding somebody real is your fucking problem, bring your girls to the crib, maybe we can solve it.
Yeah, ho, this the finale. My pep talk turned into a pep rally. Say she from the hood, but she live inside the valley. Now I'm vacated in Atlanta, then she going back to Cali. Got your girl on my line, world on my line. The irony, I fuck them at the same damn time. She eyeing me like a nigga don't exist. Girl, I know you want it, duh. Girl, I'm Kendrick Lamar, AKA Benz is to me just a car. That mean your friends is need be up to par. See, my standards are pampered by threesomes tomorrow. Kill them all, dead bodies in the hallway. Don't get involved, listen what the crystal ball say. Holly, Berry, hallelujah, holla back, I'll do ya.
I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem. I love bad bitches, that's my fucking problem. And yeah, I like the fuck, I got a fucking problem.
If finding somebody real is your fucking problem, bring your girls to the crib, maybe we can solve it. Ayy.